God's able. Everybody say, God's able. Wherever you are, praise God. Amen. Let's go to our scripture. We're talking about tonight, I believe, a very fine word for you. We're on the topic of the overcoming life. The overcoming life. And we're going to talk about two kinds of Christians. And the Christians who say God can, and the other Christians who say God can't. You know, so we're talking about this. So Psalm chapter 78, that's a question, can God? And God can. Psalm 78, verse 20, New Living Translation, the scripture says, yes, he can. He can strike a rock so water gushes out. Well, God did that. He struck a rock there, a man of God, and water came out of there, provided water for the people of God. Then it says, they questioned him afterwards, because when they needed something else, but he can't give people bread and meat. You know, if God can provide water out of a rock, he'll provide food for them. He'll provide food for you. Food, it makes this application. Food is whatever you need in life, or bread, whatever you need. Like meat is whatever is going to sustain you in life. And so God will give you whatever sustenance you need in order to sustain you in life. So don't be like the Christian, say, can he do this? It's a question people have. Can God do this? And people say, yes, he can. God can do it. And will he do it for you? Yes, he'll do it for you. And so let's go ahead and read Psalm 78, verse 12 to 20. And there's a conversation going on here between God's people. And so this might be a conversation that's going on in your head. The miracles he did for their ancestors on the plain of Zoan in the land of Egypt. For he divided the sea and led them through, making water stand up like walls. You know, he did that for the children of Israel. In the daytime, he led them by a cloud, and all night by a pillar of fire. You know, God will provide a way out of situations and through situations. And we just see that here in these scriptures. He split open rocks in the wilderness to give them water as from gushing spring. He made streams pour out from rock, and he making the waters flow like a river. Yet they kept on sinning against him, rebelling against the Most High in the desert. They stubbornly tested God in their hearts, demanding the foods they craved, and even spoke against God himself, saying, God can't give us food in the wilderness. Verse 20, yes, he can strike a rock so water gushes out, but he can't give his people bread and meat. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus for every person watching on television or on live stream or wherever they're watching this or whatever way they're watching. We pray in the name of Jesus. We pray the powerful anointing of the Holy Spirit will descend. Supernatural teaching ability. Lord, the teaching ministry we know is just as supernatural as a prophetic ministry. We know that the teaching ministry is just as supernatural as the miracle of the evangelist doing signs and wonders. We pray that same miracle right now will get a hold of people's minds and will be lunged into their hearts, and they'll stay stable and get this word. We pray that we have our minds open, so we open up our hearts and our minds so that we can be fed the supernatural sustenance from heaven, the manna of God, to strengthen us. Fill our hearts with such anointing, with such power, that we'll believe God from every situation and believe God through every area that is at want right now. We want to thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're our shepherd. And we say that you would stretch forth your hand to heal the sick, if anyone's sick tonight, that as they're listening, the power of God will descend and healing will be given to them. And anyone who's in need, financial need, that they'll have faith to believe God for supernatural sustenance of financial blessing. Those that have problems in families, they'll be rectified. And those that are in need emotionally and mentally will be restored. We pray that families will be strong. We say that families are strong, and we pray for every partner of this ministry. whether at Faith City Church or Spirit of Life Television. We pray for them. We cover them with the blood. We believe the best thing is yet to come. We pray that the anointing of God, the power of God, will descend in such a powerful way tonight that it will begin to seize and destroy every demonic stronghold in their lives. We pray this by the power of the Holy Spirit in the precious name of Jesus, and it shall be so. We thank you for it in Jesus' name, amen and amen. The main idea I want to get across to you tonight is that there are things in life that you won't be able to do on your own. And when you can't do something, you just need to remember that God can. That He can do it. Whatever it is you're facing. Because God promises that He'll fulfill all our needs. So, what are you going to do when you see the impossible, you're facing an impossible situation? What are you going to do? I know a lot of times Brother Hagin taught us this. He said, I'm going to act, or you're going to act like the Word of God is true. And I've been doing that. You know, although my mind is being cluttered with negative thinking at times from the evil one, throwing different thoughts, although words come in that are contrary to the Word of God, I will not speak them. I'll only speak what God says. God says He can. He can help me. He can help me when no one else can, when the doctor can, when the banker can, and when my wife can. When no one can help me, God can help me. I thank God for that, because you're not going to always have helper on you. You're going to have God and just you and God standing alone, facing the obstacle that's before you. As an introduction, let's say this again, that there are two kinds of people in the church body. The God can people and the God can't people. Which one do you suppose that you are? Especially during a very dark moment, very dark hour, the hardest situation that you've ever faced in life, when your child is about to die, when they're about to take your house, when you're about to lose your job, when you're going through a very difficult moment, can you say God can help me? Or do you recoil from a situation and say, yes, I cannot believe that God will do this for me? So one group is always saying that God can't help them overcome the difficult situations in life. The other group says God can. The God can group says God can help me no matter what I face in life. Even when things don't seem to work out, these people, that God can group, they still believe that God can do anything for them if they can find it in the scriptures and believe it, even when they have impossible situations against them. Even when the most negative things are happening, the darkest moments in their lives, they say, God can help me. The Bible says, Jesus said to His disciples one time, in Mark 9:23, He said this to a man who was facing an impossible situation. He had a child who was demonically oppressed and possessed. He said, Jesus spoke to him because the man asked Jesus, are you able to help me? Can you help me? Jesus said, essentially, I can help you, but can you help yourself by believing? He said, if thou canst believe. He said, what do you mean if I can help you? He said, no, if you can believe, if thou can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. So if you're in a situation tonight, this word is for you. Now, this is not just a cliche. This is God's very own word, Mark 9:23, that if you can believe, all things are possible. Not just some things, not just the easy things. You know, sometimes it's easy for us to believe. It's not a life and death matter. It's not a detriment to your life. You can take it, even if you did lose, you know you can still be alive, or a child will still be alive, or your mother will still live, or things happen. But if it's a very outstanding situation that's against you, you must say this to yourself: all things are possible to him that believes. You see, that you have to say this: I am a believer, and all things are possible to me, because I am a believer. You need to get the believing going. You need to get the believer on the inside of you working. You know, you have to act like the word is true. Negative circumstances. What do you do when negative circumstances don't change in your life? When negative things happen in your life, when things are not going the way you thought it was going to, that it should go, you might be tempted to say the wrong things. You know, you need to speak right when wrong things are happening. That's one of the hardest things you can do. James says, one of the hardest things to do is tame the tongue and learn to be quiet. The proverb says, if a man learns to be quiet, he can appear like he's a smart man, a wise man. And it says in the Proverbs, if you read it, he said a righteous man will set himself free by what he says. That's in the Bible. He said, where's that scripture? You go ahead and find it. It's in there. If you say the wrong things, you can have a negative effect on your life because of a wrong confession. A wrong confession will negate your faith if you say things that are wrong. Let's go over here to Hebrews 10:23, verse 35 and 36. It says in the scripture, let us hold fast our profession of faith. The word actually, their profession, is actually the word confession. The word confession means, this literally translates to this, to say the same thing as God. To say what God says, or to repeat, or to say what God, the word of God says. Let us hold fast our profession. So we have to hold fast to our confession. In other words, we're going to have to try to say the right thing, because the devil wants to pull something away from you and make you say the wrong thing. Let us hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful and promised. You have to know that the promises of God, we need to put our confession on the promise of God, for he is faithful. That's what verse 23 says. God is faithful to what he's promised. We got to stick to the word of God. Let's go to verse 35 and 36. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. You know that word confidence, it really, you know, implies faith. Because this is where we get confident, is the word of God. Confidence, you know, this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his word or his will, we have it. That's what 1 John chapter 5, you know, verses 14 and 15 says. Cast not there away your confidence. In other words, don't throw away your faith. Don't throw away what you're going to be saying that's right into anything, according to the word of God, which had great recompense of reward. So listen, you're going to get rewarded the more you say something and build up your faith. You're going to be stronger than you were before. Verse 36 says, you have need of patience. You know, one of the things we need when the tough time comes is to have patience. Learn to rely and be patient in the things of God, because we want things right away. Snap of our finger. I'm going through some things right now. Like, I wish I could just snap my finger right there. Doesn't happen that way. And there are some folks who don't have any patience. They haven't built up any kind of patience. The only way you can have patience is wait. Stand under the pressure of time. For after you have done the will of God, what is the will of God? It's the word of God. After you've done the will or done the word, practice the word, you might receive the promise. So the tough times that you go through sometime, you know, you're looking at, can God do it? Can he do it? Can he not do it? Is he going to do it? And so that, and when you have those times when you're questioning God, you're questioning the word of God, you're questioning whether or not your faith is working. A lot of times I used to say this to myself, the happiest moment in my life, the happiest day in my life is when I know my faith works for me. The happiest day in my life when I know my prayers work for me. And I found it's the happiest day, because I don't have to worry or be concerned about whatever else everybody prays about me, as long as I'm in the right prayer frame of mind. Like, you know, everybody can pray for you, but if you're wrong and you're believing, hey, you're going to find out some things that's going to be very hard, maybe not even get anything. So some people get blinded by their choices sometimes. So anyway, don't question God. Question yourself. When things don't appear according to what you are believing for, it's tempting just to quit and say it's not working, and say the word of God is not working. That's exactly what the devil wants you to do. And so don't question God and his word. He is still working no matter how you feel and what you're looking at right now and what's going on about you. God is working right now on your behalf. Right at this moment, God is working for you right now. You know, your negative experiences in life don't determine, you know, the outcome of God's word or what God's word promises. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Never, Jesus, his word never changes. He's still the same right now, as he did when he healed the sick people, when he walked the earth, when he cast devils out, and when he multiplied the food and gave people, lift them up out of their troubles. So some people sometimes can get so blinded by this world and the things that's going around them, the circumstances of life blinds them because the devil lies to them. He's a very good deceiver. He'll make you feel different things by putting things in your mind. And so some people get blinded by the choices they've made, and when they continue to willfully walk into sin and disobedience, they can become even more blind. Paul gives us some insight as to what happens in a person's life under Satan's influence in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. Let's go ahead and read this. In whom the God of this world, that is a term that's been used by Paul by the Holy Spirit, the God of this world. You know, there's a God in this world, but he's not your God. He's everybody else's God, maybe, but he's not our God. He says, the God of this world has blinded the minds. Well, how can that be? Has blinded the minds of them which believe not. In other words, unbelieving people who don't believe, they get blind. Lest the light of the glorious gospel, who is the image of God, should shine on them. God wants to shine light on them, wants to shine faith in them, the faith flashlight in their lives. Sin is very deceitful because your flesh enjoys sin so much, or the pleasures of sin so much, that it can risk life itself. You'll risk all. There's people who gambled all that they had just to see if they can get that one prize. And just one more roll, they lost everything. They lost their house. I personally know families, people who've lost hundreds of thousands of dollars. People have lost their homes. I've known a family who lost their home, worked all their lives, their husband and wife, and lost their home, and then had to go and live in some other aged home, with nothing, and then end up dying because of alcohol addiction. That's tough. Jesus made this statement that we all can relate to, and we have been in these situations. Now let's go look at the script with the situation Jesus said, stated here in the Gospel of Mark chapter 4, verse 19. He says, the cares of this world, and this is King James, and the deceitfulness of riches. You know, there's cares of this world can be so hard on us. Cares, people carrying these heavy cares, heavy heavy burdens, heavy anxieties. And he says the cares of this world, you know, this world has so much things to, you know, I'm just thinking about tonight, you know, I'm thinking about all these things right now. There's COVID everywhere, all kinds of concerns about COVID and medical things going on, second variant, third variant, all kinds of stuff going on. There's Indian residential school situations going on. There's all these situations and all these people going into some kind of shock, and they're going back in their childhood and they can't overcome, and it's affecting them, affecting families, affecting how people think and view First Nations people. And as I walk around the city, I have this kind of thing on me, thinking that maybe, what are they're thinking, they're looking at me, or even, you know, when sometimes I'll think about that. It might happen, you know. Now, what's going to happen next? Then you see yesterday on the news, this young man goes and drives and plows into a family walking down the road in London, Ontario, killing four people, and one kid just clinging on to life. What is going on? You can't leave our area. You can't go across the border. You can't fly. You can't do anything. And in our city, we have addiction problems beyond control. I had a cousin who passed away yesterday, a young woman who's a nurse, actually, and she died because of addiction. This is what I'm hearing. And then we have my chief in my community has called on a state of emergency on our reservation Because they have an overflow of COVID-19. They say half the house has been inflicted with this or inflicted with this disease, and everyone in the whole community is somehow being affected. I mean, this is the cares of the world. And the Bible says, you know, in Timothy that hard to deal with situations are happening right now in this world. And you see the bombs going off in Israel. There's war going on. There's fighting going on. There's disarray in American politics and Capitol, the White House, and our own Capitol. People are after our premier and prime minister. I mean, there's stuff going on. I mean, constantly. So you see here in Mark chapter 4, 19, that I relate to you some personal things that I know about. You know about your own situation. The cares of this world can get on you so hard that you're so drunk with them. You stagger on spiritually. Don't know where to turn. Can God help me out here? Can he do something? Then he goes on to say the deceitfulness of riches. People can get blinded by trying to run after money, trying to run after wealth. I heard a story today. My wife was listening to something. And a man who had died, and the Lord showed him, you know, about life. He said, I was just living for myself, just trying to put away money, just trying to you know, live for my own pleasure. And I realized how wrong I was, not caring about the next person, not caring about what's going on in the world. How can I be helpful to other people? And so the riches of the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things, and there's all kinds of lust in the world. Not just sexual lust. There's lust for every kind of thing you can imagine. And it's growing. Lust for everything. Lust of power. Lust of, you know, lust of finances. And lust of whatever your flesh wants to get. You can just dream of a new one coming up. Entering in. That's entering in their spirit. Enter their mind. Choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. You know, I just want to point out to you the riches of this world and the deceitfulness of riches can really make someone blind. That you can risk your life, risk all you have, and lose everything. We can say no to these lusts. We can't say no to sin because God can help you. God can help you to say no to the cares of the world. God can help you to say no to deceitful riches. God can help you to say no to lusts, any kind of lust. If you had trouble with pornography, you can say no right now, even though you don't feel like you have any trouble. You have no control over it. That's a lie. You do have control over it. You can say no to this, to any kind of thing that's affecting your body. Your body's been king long enough, and you got to learn to rise up on the inside of you that you can control these things. The devil's lied to many, many people. That, you know, killing people, killing Christians even. And so we can say no because God can help us. We can stand in faith just as Moses did when he said no to the pleasures of sin and then begin to follow the plan of God for his life. And you can say no to sin and follow the plan of God for your life. What are you here for? Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24, 27, New Living Translation. We're talking about the can God people and the cannot God people, or the can't God people. We're talking about two kinds of Christians. I want to be the ones who say, God can. Over here it says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24 to 27, I'm reading the New Living. It was by faith, not by emotion, not by good circumstances or good signs. It was by faith that Moses, when he grew up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He made a decision about what he's going to do. Verse 25, he chose to share the oppression or suffer, the King James says, suffer with the people of God or share the oppression of God's people instead of enjoying the pleasures, fleeting pleasures of sin. See, sin, your flesh loves sin because it's pleasurable for a short time, but it's going to kill you in the end. Verse 26 says, he thought it was better to suffer for the sake of Christ than to own the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking ahead to a great reward. So he says, to own the treasures of Egypt. Treasures of Egypt are everything in this world has to offer you. This is talking about the deceitful riches that Jesus talked about in Mark chapter 4:19 over here in Hebrews 11. He's talking about in verse 11:26, he says, the treasures of Egypt. Now you can be blind to the treasures of Egypt as well. What is this world offering you? How is it enticing you to not believe God or to follow in the out of the will of God? For he was looking ahead to a great reward, and that's the only way we can ever get out of this, is to look ahead that there is this. Whatever's going on in your life is not forever. It's temporary. I was helping myself today by saying, you know, hey, what I'm going through right now, this is not going to be forever. This is going to change. And so it's not the end of the world and you're going to be stuck there. There's better days ahead for you. So it was by faith Moses left, verse 27, the land of Egypt. You have to leave the things of the world and things that hold you back by faith. Egypt stands for sin and the devil's world and darkness. Not fearing the king's anger. See, you can't be afraid of the devil and what he wants to do, what he wants to do in your life. You got to look at him in the eye and say, listen, Pharaoh, listen, devil, I'm leaving here and I'm taking my children with me and I'm taking all my stuff with me and I'm not leaving, you know, one thing like Moses said and the Israelites said, we're not leaving one hoof behind. Talk about the animals. I'm not leaving my. I'm taking my Frenchies with me. That's what he said. So anyway, he says he kept right on going because he kept his eyes on the one who is invisible. How could you look at somebody who is invisible? How could you look at the things that you want from God? How can you look at the invisible promises, the things that you promise, that are promised in the Bible? They're not there. You don't feel them. You don't see them. You only can do it by the Word of God. You only can take these by the Word of God. You can do it by faith. These are invisible things. You don't have them yet. They're not manifested yet. But they're there. The promises of God are right there for you. He can help you get out of this situation if you just get to the promise of God. I'm speaking to somebody right now. Somebody right there, right now, just got it. And you're never be the same after this. This revelation, all this is supernatural teaching tonight. I mean, it's been always like that, but I just sense there's a greater level of faith, a greater level of revelation right now happening in the body of Christ right here at Faith City Church, more than ever. I get a sense there's a level of revelation and the things of God happening. I believe it. Hang in there, folks. Hang in there. Jesus speaking to his disciples who had been blinded by their traditions to the gospel Jesus said to the people who believed in him in John 8:31, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings. You know, you could hear something but don't remain faithful to it. You truly are a disciple of God when you start practicing what you hear. Some people are so blinded they can't see the truth. But the Lord says the truth will set you free in John 8:32. The truth will set you free. You know, if you keep lying to yourself that there's no problem and you think it's faith, it's not faith to turn a blind eye on something. It's not faith when you deny things. That's not faith at all. That's not faith when you pretend it's not there. That's not faith. A faith is like, hey, I got a problem. There's a situation going on. Yeah, that's real. But I'm not going to look at that as a finality. I'm looking at the Word of God. That's what you do when you got problems. You don't deny reality of what's happening in the natural. You say, yes, that's there, but that's not the finality of it. You know, when I got out of addictions, I had to admit I had a problem. It's only when I admitted that I was alcoholic, I was addicted, and I needed help, that's when things started to change for me. So, nobody can perform in the dark, and nobody can ever see in the dark. You need to be in the truth, in the light. We can try to function in the darkness, But eventually we can hurt ourselves by not seeing our way around. So don't give up and hang in there. Don't abandon the ship. The light will soon shine in your life as you get into the light of the gospel. God can turn your bondages around into freedom. So in John 8:31, as we said, you are my disciples if you remain in my teaching. God can turn your darkness around right now. It says over here in Psalm chapter 18, verse 28, the New Living says, you light up a lamp for me. The Lord my God lights up my darkness. If there's any darkness in your life, I pray in the name of Jesus, God will light that up and show you some things that you have to do. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 6, it says here, the people who sat in darkness, that's people before Jesus. And people in as Christians, you can go sit in the darkness if you want to. When you disobey God, you know, when God tells you something by the Holy Spirit and you say no, the light becomes dark, and you're going to grope around like a blind man spiritually and not find the voice of God. The Holy Spirit talking to you and saying things to you when you say no to Him is just like reading the Word and saying no to the Word. He said, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who lived in the land of where death casts its shadow, a light has shined. Matthew 4:16, New Living says, people living under Satan's power are in a land of death and darkness. Jesus came to set us free. But God's light can outshine his darkness, no matter how dark it is in your situation right now. The light can spring up by the word of God. When people are under the influence of darkness, they are held captive by the enemy. It may seem sickness or addictions, problems or various kinds of fears or multiple bondages or other kinds of darknesses are about you and around you. Acts 10:30 says, Jesus released people from bondages that Satan brought upon them. The scripture says, although I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. So you have to believe the word of God that, oh yeah, darkness is around you. But it's not going to come in you. And you're going to walk in the light that you have. You know, you have to walk in the light that you have. Find something right now in your life where there's light and begin to walk in it. And you'll find your way outside. Find your way out of that darkness by walking in the light that you have right now. Jesus is always sending people free, you know. Acts 10:38 says, that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. In Mark chapter 5, there's three kinds of people there who were set free in Mark chapter 5. Number one, there was a demoniac who had a mentally ill situation in his life, a mental health situation. He was like absolutely crazy, because demons were bothering his mind. He couldn't see things. He was living among the tombs, among the dead. He was scratching himself, hurting himself. He was self-abusive, cutting himself with stones. The Bible says he's bleeding away. And I'm sure he ripped off his clothes. They tried to, you know, tame him. The King James says they tried to control him, in other words. But he couldn't be controlled. You know, sometimes you can't control people because they're just out of it. So this demoniac who was so full of demons, and no one could help him. But you know what? God could, but God can, and God did help him. And then there's a lady there, number three, a lady with an ongoing bodily bleeding function in her body who could not be healed by physicians. But you know what? God could, and God did, and she was well. And then thirdly, there's a man by the name of Jairus, who is an important man. A politician, I think he was more of a political, a government person there, a leader. This man, Jairus, who had a young daughter who was near death, dying of a sickness. These people had an impossible situation going on in life. They could not do something for themselves, but God could do something for them. They all came to God. They all came to Jesus. Even this demoniac who was so full of demons, it said 2,000 demons were holding him in bondage. Even those 2,000 demons could not bend his will to come to God. That's how much your will can make a difference in your life. And this situation that's with the, demons was holding this demoniac back to go to God, but God could help him and did help him. This lady with the blood disease and ongoing problem, she had a problem where societal beliefs and religious beliefs could not, or at least were stopping it, so she could not go through that barrier. But you know what? God was able to help her. Her faith did it, Jesus said. The one, Jairus, who had a situation going on, and she was being impeded by this woman's situation. Like, you know, sometimes our own situation are stopped or being delayed because somebody else's needs coming first. So the Bible says, this man, this Jairus, he was seeking help from Jesus, and he found himself being delayed for his daughter's healing, and she was near death. So you might find yourself in a delay situation regarding your life, whatever need you have. Whatever's delaying your situation is being impeded there by either natural things, maybe devil's causing it, maybe your own causing it, maybe somebody else causing it, but you can find yourself in the delay. Maybe God's waiting for you to do something. Jairus here was a Jewish leader, a local synagogue, helping in this local synagogue, whose daughter was sick and near death. If you find yourself in the delay for healing situation for your family member in dire crisis and need, and even near death, you need to stay in faith. God can bring healing and release in your life. You'll have many, many opportunities to quit in your life. And if you quit, it'll be like you never even started to even come to a place where you want to find answers. I love Pastor Hagin's motto. You know, he's been our pastor here for a number of years. You know, I was a member of Raymond Bible Church. I never did quit. I'm still part of that gang. I watch as much as I can, follow their ministry. And of course, he's ahead of our where we graduated from, and we're still connected. We go back there all the time. And he always says this, and I've adopted this same motto. He says, I will not quit. I cannot be defeated, and I will not quit. You got to be able to have a tenaciousness about you. You know, in life, God does not want us to be overloaded with anything in life. He wants to help us. Mark chapter 11, verse 22-24. God can change things around. Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For verily I say to you that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he said. In other words, you have to believe in your own words. Verse 24, therefore, it works because this. Therefore, when your words line up with the Bible or the Word of God, you can therefore say and pray this. Therefore, I say to you that whatsoever things you desire, that is, whatever things you desire according to the Word of God, when you pray, the moment you pray, believe that you receive. You have to believe that you receive your own prayer the moment you pray, and you shall have them. Eventually, it'll come to pass. In other words, that's what Jesus said. Jesus told doubting Thomas, and so we have chances to doubt lots of times. Jesus said, blessed are those who believe without seeing me. That is believing in Jesus. There's a lot of people in this world that never saw Jesus with their eyes, and they're told that John 3:16 is the key to eternal life. Jesus said, blessed are those who have never seen me and yet believe. That's according to everything in life. God can turn your doubts around into faith according to the scripture. He can turn your doubts that you have and turn it around into faith by getting to the word. Faith to believe is given to us. Faith is given to believe so that we can believe that God can do something in our lives. That's why faith is given to us. Speak the true results, or speak the, you know, the final results of whatever you want. And Mark chapter 5 is this depiction, the way things go as you journey ahead on this life. You know, it says here, if you're going to go to the other side, or going to the other side, or going to the place where you want to go, and you have to go through something, and you can't question God's word regarding whatever word you have. You got to hang on to that word. And I like what Paul tells Timothy, these prophecies are something that you hang on to believe. Believe in the prophecies that's been spoken about you. You got to believe in your prophecies spoken to you. A lot of times my wife reminded me the other day of some prophecy that was given to us. One happened quite almost instantly when the Lord spoke to me about television ministry in a time when I didn't know anything about the TV ministry. And yet God put us on. I had no money. I was telling her how much anxiety I had before I was going on television. I went through such an anxiety. I mean, you don't know the nature of what I went through in my own life regarding these situations. And other situations, I would get up early in the morning and go through things in prayer. And even now that I had to battle, it's the same thing. I have to fight for everything I'm going to win in life, in this hour. And you're going to have to do the same thing. It's not going to be that easy for you as well. If you're going to believe big, you have to stand big sometime. So you have to say to yourself, you're crossing over the other side, just like Jesus said, crossing over the problem that you're dealing with. Let's read Mark chapter 4, verse 34, 41. Verse 34 says, but without a parable, he spake unto them when they were alone, he expounded all these things to his disciples. Verse 35, and the same day when the evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over the other side. He's talking to them. He's talking to you and me right now. Let us pass over to the other side. Verse 36, and when he had sent away the multitude, he took him even as he was in the ship. There were other ships, little ships. Verse 37, and there arose a great storm of wind. Suddenly, a storm of wind came. And there was Jesus. You know, no matter who you are as a Christian, no matter how dedicated you are as a Christian, no matter how close you feel towards God, there's always going to be a storm of wind in your life, if you're living in this world anyway. And the waves beat upon that house and ships, and it was now full. Verse 38, he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. Goes to show you that you can sleep through trials and very difficult situations in life. Jesus did it. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not we perish? And that's what we say when we have trouble in life. God, do you care about my problem? We're about to die here. Where's your compassion? So we're questioning God about whether or not he cares and that you're dying. Verse 39, he rose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. In other words, he spoke against the situation that was going. Now you need to speak against your situation. Jesus said, speak to the mountain. Here he says, speak to the sea. Speak to the wind. What wind of adversity is coming your way? Speak against it. You will not have me. You're going to tell that sickness. Tell that sickness or whatever it is coming against you. Say, you're not going to take me down. Then there was a great calm. Well, we like the great calm, but you're going to have to do some speaking. You're going to have to do some talking. And verse 40, and he said unto him, why are you so fearful? Jesus is asking you right now, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? He's expecting you to have faith or use the faith you have. And they feared exceedingly. They said to one another, what manner of man is this? Even the wind and the sea obey him. They say, this is something else. And the next chapter reveals this, because he said, let's go to the other side. Over here in the 35th verse, in the fifth chapter, verse 1 says, and they came over to the other side. Well, in the meantime, they thought they were going to be dead while they're in it. That was the end of life. But then the next moment, as Jesus spoke and showed them how to operate their faith by speaking, they're on the other side now because Jesus spoke. See, I heard a man of God say this, my word in your mouth is just as powerful as my word in my mouth. That's a great revelation if we can get a hold of that. Can God provide whatever it is you need? Well, yes, he can. Psalm 23 verse 1 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. People often question, can God provide my financial situation? Can he actually provide? I've been in a mess. I've caused a mess. But can God help me? And they're feeling guilty about it. And their guilt is providing them a real big fence to jump over. But you need to get over that guilt and repent and say, God, help me out. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, and God is able. Ask yourself, tell yourself, God is able. He's able to help me. God can help me. He's able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always, have to say that, say always. He always having all sufficiency in all things, that's everything, may abound to every good work. In Luke chapter 5, Peter's gang there caught more fish than they could handle. They have an overabundant, as they say, net breaking, overflowing, boat sinking, catch of fish. Even when things didn't look good and things were not going to be provided as they thought and as they wanted to, God comes along, asks them to help do something, and they begin to obey God because God's word was given to them, and they start acting on that, and things start to change around in your life. We have to start doing the same thing. Working, they had worked all night, these disciples, and had got no results, but one word from Jesus changed their fortunes. Let's go over here to the Luke chapter 5, verse 2 to 7, King James. And he saw two ships standing by the lake, and the fishermen were gone out of them, and they were washing their nets. So in other words, the day's over, they're exhausted. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would trust out a little further from the land. He sat down and taught the people out of the ship. When he had left speaking, he said to him, Simon, launch out into the deep. Let down your nets for a draught. Verse 5. And Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night, and I've taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Verse 6. When they had done this, they had enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net break. I mean, that's somebody said, that's horrible, the net's breaking. No, hey, wait a minute. They had a lot of fish, more than they needed. Verse 7. They beckoned unto their partners, which were on the other ship, that they should come and help them, and they came and they filled both ships so that they began to sink. I mean, not only one ship was sinking, but both of them, but they made it to the shore, thank God, and they had a great abundance of fish for their, you know, they were able to sell that and pay their bills and feed their families, and I don't know how long it lasted, but it sure was a good thing. God can still do that too. He can still do that for you. It doesn't matter whose fault it was that caused any financial problems in your life. God can help you. So in that middle of that storm we saw, God was able to calm the sea, and he can still do it for you today. He can calm your storm that's beating against your house, beating against your head. In John chapter 5, verse 38, 41, Jesus spoke to a storm while the disciples looked on in amazement. Let's have a look again at this scripture, John, Mark chapter 4, verse 38 to 41. And he was in a hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awoke him, and he said to him, Master, carest thou that we perish? And he arose, rebuked the wind, and said to them, be still. The wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? They feared exceedingly and said to one another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? So these disciples were in a storm, and God was able to calm that storm. Jesus is he's the storm calmer. He can bring peace to your storm. He can bring peace to your family. He can bring peace to your heart and mind right now. He can bring peace to your business, your church, your ministry. He can bring peace in your relationship right now. God can turn sickness into health. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:24, who is himself bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. According to the Apostle Peter, we were, that is past tense, healed. Peter was looking back at the cross, what Jesus did for him through God putting him on the cross for us, nailed him to the cross, nailed the sins, on the cross. He paid the penalty for sin and sickness and for us all. People get sick for various reasons. We don't know why. Sometimes they didn't know why themselves. It doesn't matter. The Bible says God can heal you. Sometimes just because the way they live, and I've seen people, the way they live, and cause themselves to be sick. My own mom was the same way. I know other people. Perhaps not knowing how to live or understanding how to protect themselves, they were living in a dangerous situation and things happened. But God can turn your sickness into health. God can send prosperity in your life. Psalm 118, verse 25 says, I beseech you, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech you, send now prosperity. Over in the New Testament, the Apostle John prayed by the Holy Spirit. He says, John, 3 John chapter 1, verse 2, Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. God can send prosperity your way right now, finances your way. He can provide all your needs and more. The Old Testament says that God is more, is a God of more than enough. The Bible says that. In your darkest hour, when you feel so imprisoned, when there's no help, no light, you're full, just full of darkness, God can help your situation. Let's go over here, Acts 16, verse 25, 30, the King James Version. At midnight, midnight can stand for the darkest and deepest hour of your life, the most dimmest time of your life. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. Well, it's good to pray when you're in a bad situation. And sang praises. Let's sing too. Unto God, the prisoners heard them. Thank God that, you know, maybe your neighbor will hear you. Maybe somebody else is having a hard time. They'll hear you. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundation of the prison was shaken. You know, God will shake your prisons, wherever, prison door where you are. And immediately all the doors were open. He will start opening doors. Everyone's bands are loose. You can, everyone in your house can be loose. The keeper of the prison awakened out of the sleep and seeing the prison open, doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried a loud voice, saying, Do yourself no harm, for we're all here. Then they called for a light, and sprung in, and came trembling, fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out, and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? In your darkest hour, how wonderful it is to have the Word of God, and to believe it, and to act upon it, and to see the result that God can deliver you from your darkest hour. Brother Hagin used to tell us this. He says, the things that you cry about, you will laugh about tomorrow.